How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all good? Did y'all enjoy his presence this morning as much as I did? I want us to learn to soak in his presence. And sometimes that's corporately, and sometimes it's privately. But when we learn to be still, the word says, be still, know that I'm God. And that doesn't necessarily mean cease from activity, but it means to stop in a place to where we can recognize his presence and what he's doing and fully absorb and receive that moment. Or in that moment, reciprocate and lift it up to him and bless him. Go ahead and turn in your Bible to Genesis. I'm going to go to Genesis 15 this morning. The Lord's had me in Abraham this week. We started out about a week and a half ago, and I know we're still in the middle of the holiday crunch and all of that. And I really want to get this word out to everybody, but I know you got different people there. My wife's home with the virus again for the third day, and so she's not. I've already had it, so I'm good. I don't think I'm contagious, so I've been good for a week or two, but. We just got a lot going on and people out of town and all that, but I really want the body, and hopefully people are listening to podcasts, I really want the body to get this. Every year the Lord comes in, it seems like in January, end of December and January, and he begins to start speaking to me about things concerning the upcoming year. And he'll give me three or four things that are... Now, last year, I think he put five words in my spirit, and that were key words for that year. And I'm learning to pay attention to those words, and to make note of those words, to write those words down, to have those words to where they are very prominent for that year. And this year, Brother Brett, the five words that the Lord gave to me on a personal level, I saw every one of those words strongly, strongly, strongly fulfilled in my life on a personal level. And it was exciting. It really was. And so this year, I'm already a few weeks ago, I said, all right, God, you know, what's for this year? What's for this year? And he's so faithful, way more faithful than I am, but he gave me a word about a week and a half ago, and he said this is going to be one of the key things of what I'm wanting to say and do for 2018. And he said that 2018 is going to be a year where hidden things are revealed, secret things are revealed to individuals throughout the body. Secret things are revealed to people throughout the body. And you're like, what's it? It's like God's coming in and saying, perfect example was in Genesis when he was in 18, when he's about to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he goes and visits Abraham, and while he's there, he said, man, I'm going to let Abraham in on what I'm about to do. That was a secret thing. He started to not even share it with Abraham. But there was something in Abraham's life to where he said, how can I hide this from him because of our level of relationship? How can I hide this from him? And so he comes in and he reveals it. He said, for I know him. And we may talk about that. I'm going to be developing that some. He said, for I know him. But he said, I'm going to reveal this thing to Abraham and I'm going to share this. As I looked at the Christmas story, I was amazed that the birth of Jesus is probably the most significant, I mean, it splits time, probably the most significant event in human history. And look at how few people that were there to see it. How many did God reveal to? A few shepherds? Mary, Joseph? The wise men came in a year and a half later. There weren't crowds. There weren't all of the accolades and all of this stuff. But there were a few people that were privileged to God letting them in on what was happening. We see him coming in and it's almost like he's cherry picking individuals and say, I'm going to share this with them. And the masses won't get it right now. I'm amazed at Mary. She got the crucifixion before anybody else did. You got disciples that walked on the road to Emmaus with Jesus and they didn't even realize it was him until after the fact. But blessed are those that he reveals these things to ahead of time. And said, this is who I am and this is what I'm doing. And let me share my heart with you. I want insight, revelation into him, into who he is. I want to get in him and know him. The Apostle Paul said, that I may know him. And that word that the Apostle Paul uses is the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew word that God uses in Genesis 18 where he said, I know Abraham. He said, I want to know him. And so I feel like this year is going to be a year where God comes in and Brooke, he speaks things to us. Or maybe he just activates something in our heart that was already in there. And everybody else doesn't see it. And the key to how we will live the year out, or how we will advance, or how we will progress in the kingdom, or how we will impact the culture around us, is how we respond to these secret things that God speaks into us. Because two things will happen as God begins to speak and maybe activate these things in our spirit. Is, number one, we'll do like Mary and we'll ponder these things in our heart. But we'll also guard these things. And as we ponder these things and guard these things, then secondly, it causes us to come in and it dictates our course of action. Many of you this year, God's going to come in and start speaking things to you in private that everybody else may not see. And they may not get, and they may not get you. And if you're consumed with popularity and your image and all of that stuff, you are going to miss probably about 99% of the time. Because you'll be worried about how you're perceived. Some of y'all are not free in worship because you're worried about how you'll be perceived. I'm serious. And I know we worship different ways. I'm not saying everybody has to worship the same way. But some of y'all were bound up in worship because you're worried about how you'll be perceived. Some of y'all are bound up in coming to the altar and just pouring yourself out to God because you're worried about how you'll be perceived. And as God comes in and he speaks these secret things to us, then we have to die to worried about, is everybody else on board or not? I'm in a place right now where God is so stirring in Abraham and in my life, and part of it's my age. I'm 55, and I've got grandkids, and I'm thinking more and more about legacy and all of that stuff. And I'm not concerned with the perception of people. I'm concerned about God knowing me and God trusting me. I just want to be so in tune with him and so obedient to him that if the world thinks I'm crazy, that's okay. If nobody else goes with me, that's okay. Because before Abraham was a, Israel was a nation, it was a man and his name was Abraham. And I want to be in a place where God can come in and God speaks and God directs and God activates stuff and God stirs stuff in me. And I'm like, yes, Lord, and it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It doesn't matter if anybody else hears it or not. I'm not saying I'm going to march to my beat. I'm going to march to his beat. And that's my prayer for you guys right now. And God will instruct you to do things in the natural that are huge in the spiritual. Right now, God, you know one thing God's got me doing right now? God just recently spoke this to me, and I've already started doing it. God's got me going in, and he says, every gate on your farm that has old post on the gate, that they're hinging on old post or stuff like that, if you have not recently replaced it, he said, I want you to go in and replace every one of them, whether they're functioning or not. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm putting in new post. I'm taking old ones out, and I'm putting new ones in. And if I need to replace gates, I'm replacing gates. And God said, this is huge, but because before you can do boundaries and before you can do all of that, he said, your corner post, your door post, the things that your gates hinge on, those need to be replaced. That's something God spoke to me. That's not just, you know, oh, this is what you do and all of that stuff. That's something God spoke to me. And so I'm out there, you know, putting in post. And it's corner post. It's post that gates hinge on. And I don't care if they're functioning or not. God said replace it. And so I'm replacing it. I'm putting a new in. And I want to do that in my life. I want to do that in my life. And God will come in and God will start speaking stuff to us and releasing stuff into us and stirring things in us. And we'll see new things come about, new ideas, new dreams, new visions, all new purpose. All of these things are going to start becoming active in our life when we allow God to speak secret things to us. We're waiting for the mass call to go out to everybody. The Macedonian call went to Paul. It wasn't a thing that was shouted from the rooftop and it's like, let's go. It was the thing where God came in and spoke it in the Spirit. The sheep vision he had was in a dream on a rooftop in Joppa. And God speaks these things to us that are unique. They are tremendously individual. God will speak to stuff to you as an individual, Jacob, that it may not be applicable to anybody else, but it's applicable to Jacob. God will say, I want you to do this. Or I'm going to start stirring this. I'm going to put passion in you for this. And I'm going to activate things that you didn't even know were in there. You know what I believe God's going to do this year? I'm just casting a little what I feel like God's saying for 18, and we might get into some study on Abraham. If not, we'll get into the study on Wednesday night. You know what I believe that God's going to, that a lot of you guys are going to see, and you won't realize it, but when I say this, it'll start making sense to you. I personally believe, and I believe Scripture bears this out, that we enter in, we can, and if we desire, we can enter into a place of supernatural sleep. He visits us in the night, and the word says he does, and he comes in, and I believe that God makes deposits in our life, and he does not do it in the day, because if he did it all in the day, we would say, this is my understanding, and we would get proud and arrogant and all of that stuff with it. But God visits us in the night. I pray that before I go to sleep every night. Say, God, let me have supernatural sleep. That doesn't mean give me 7 hours of good sleep. That means, God, you download into me. If Cindy is downloading stuff into her computer at work, you know when she does it? She doesn't do it while she's there working. You know when she downloads that stuff? When she's about to leave for the end of the day, she'll hit that download, and then she'll walk out the door. And while she is not there, all the downloads take place. And I believe that as we sleep at night, as I come in and I say, God, download into me. God, deposit things in my spirit. And there are things that he puts in me that I don't even know what all he's putting in there. I don't wake up and say, God, what did you download? I just simply say, God, I trust and I know that you deposited stuff in me. And I believe part of this year, and God coming in and revealing secret things to us, is going to be an activation of things that God has been downloading in you for years. Because y'all have sit in some glorious stuff. You've become, one problem with our church is we have become very, very common to what God's been doing in a powerful way for years. Y'all sit in a tremendous atmosphere for 20 years. I'm not saying because I've been teaching, just because of the presence of God. You have sit in some amazing things. I have sit in and been in some amazing things. And it was not just the experience that I had while I was there. Okay? And that's been for my whole 30-year career of being saved and in the ministry. I have sat and been in and experienced amazing things, received impartations from amazing people, and just soaked in the presence of God. And that wasn't just so I would have a hair stand up on the back of my neck. That was God putting stuff in me and in me and in me and in me. That's my big prayer for a lot of the kids, the young people right now, and the kids right now in this house. Wednesday night I talked about all, and my crew's not here today, but when you know, my little crew and the little buddy kids and all the little kids are down here on Sunday morning during worship and doing their thing and all that, I'm like, God, you just deposit in them. They don't know what's going on other than they just like the presence. They know it's God. Zealand and Sidney Hannah will go home and I don't know if I've even shared, they'll go home and they'll play praise and worship. They'll play church. Say they're playing church. I told Madeline to know this. You know who they are when they go home and they play church? Zealand's Noah and Sidney Hannah's Madeline. But there are deposits being made in them. There are deposits being... You kids have known nothing except the presence of God in y'all's life. I'm not saying you hadn't been witnessing a part of sin in the world and all that. You have. You've seen that stuff. But for the most part, that's all you've known. There's not been a time in your life where there was void of God in your life. Hannah, you've never had a point in your life where God was not near. You've never had a place in your life where God was not ever present. And in that, there is such a soaking and a deposit that is being made. There is such a conditioning of the soul that is being made. And I really feel like what God's going to start doing is God's going to start activating some of the stuff that He's been putting. You're 16 now, so you've had 16 years of soaking. I've had 30. You're not that far behind me. I know I'm way older. But you started out of the womb. You started in the womb. Being in His presence and soaking in His... So you got 16 years worth of deposits being placed in you. And I believe that 2018 is God's going to start coming in and God's going to start activating some of those years of deposits, and that's going to be some of the secret things. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that's a word from the Lord for us. And so I look in this, and I look in Abraham's life. I just, if you were here Wednesday night, just hear this as review. I just want to read a couple notes. There are things that are revealed to you that are hidden to others. And I believe that this is a filter for us and others. I believe this is a filter for us and others. What will our faith man do with this? Will he respond in faith or will he dismiss it because it isn't popular or common or easy? I believe these things that God reveals to us and to us alone are a filter for us to see how we will respond to that. The powerful thing about Abraham is that his life was a life of God coming in and God speaking secret things to him that he wasn't speaking to anybody else. It started when he came in and he called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and he said, I want you to leave your family, leave your home, follow me and I'm going to show you a place and we'll dwell there together. You just don't leave everything that you know and go to the unknown. But the Lord said, I'll go with you and I'll go before you. A place that I'll show you. Cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. He was 75 when he did this, guys. I mean, we go out of thinking, me and you ain't nowhere near that. We thinking, you know, 75, I'm going to be kind of cruising it on out to the end. And God said, let's... start something new. And he comes and he speaks that secret thing. And nobody else heard that. I'm sure his family thought, man, you're crazy. Where are you going? Lot followed him not because he heard the voice of the Lord, but because Lot believed in Abraham. Sometimes I'll follow the voice of the Lord not because I heard it, but because I believe in the person that did hear it. Believe in the person that did hear it. Question for us, and there's like 1,000 different things that we could go down right now. How many people do you really believe in your life? I know we get cynical, and because we get hurt. Life experience tells us that people will let us down and people will hurt us, but God will bring, and God does bring people in our lives that He intends for us to run this race with. And that we are supposed to, that the greatest thing that I can say about my wife is I believe in her. And that's not I believe in her potential. That's I believe in her nature. I believe in her character. I believe in her heart toward the Father. And because of that, I put hope and trust in her. Because of that, I'm very, very, very vulnerable to her. And sometimes God will speak things to people that when we believe in them, we can... That's what Lot did. I know he got off base later on. I see Abraham doing this over and over and over and over again. There's 50 different examples with Abraham to where God came in and God spoke this to him. God activated something in him. And he said, and I believed in God. And the Word said it, and it was counted to him for righteousness. I want to suggest something to you, and I'm really, really prayed and struggled, God, how do I communicate this morning, because I've got about really a month or so that I would like to pick apart and do teaching on this. But I want to hit something that I brought out earlier before worship, and just kind of suggest this to you. And then you can leave and you can ponder this in your heart and guard this in your heart. And with anxious expectation, God, what are you going to speak to me this year? What are you going to release into me this year? Did I ask y'all to go to Genesis 15? Let's start in verse 5. Now, in verse 1, let me read verse 1 and then jump to 5. I'm not even going to go to Eliezer and all of that stuff. This is after Abraham had delivered Lot and defeated the four armies, the four kings. And he came in. He had his encounter with Melchizedek. And then he told the king of Sodom, and I don't want your money because I don't want you to be able to say you made me rich. Because God's my provider. And then in verse 1 in chapter 15 it says, after these things the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision saying, fear not. He was Abram at this time. God hadn't changed his name yet. In a vision saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Your shield and your reward. And then Abraham questions and says, man, I don't have a heir yet. And God said, you will. In verse 5, he says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He believed in the Lord. This summarizes Abraham's faith journey. It doesn't say he believed God. It said he believed in the Lord. He didn't believe in his existence. He believed in his nature. He believed in his character. He believed in his goodness. And everything that about our walk and about our journey and about this life should be predicated on the fact that I believe that God is a good God and that He loves me and that He cares for me. And I know His heart toward me. And when I understand and I believe these things, then it's a platform for me to launch forward in. And to live a life of pursuit of Him. And so he comes in and he declares this to Abraham. And he says this about Abraham. And so I want us to turn to chapter 18. Turn to 18 very quickly. We'll go somewhere with one point and then we're going to call it a morning. God came in and God, in chapter 18, told Abraham and Sarah that she's going to have a son. Now, they are 90, 100 years old at this point. And God came in and he said, I know you don't have an heir, but I'm going to give you an heir. And then God waited. That James was referring to. We want God to move in an instant, move in a moment. And sometimes God says, I'm making a deposit. Sometimes we get seed and harvest, but we don't get time. Everybody understands seed and harvest, but we don't get time. And God comes in and he says, you're gonna get pregnant. You're going to have a child. And she laughed. Sarah laughed. I love God's response to this. Because he's like, why are you laughing? She said, I didn't laugh. And he said, yeah, you laughed. And then he just moves right on. He doesn't judge her. Man, he doesn't get offended at her or anything like that. He just moves right on. And he says, we're picking up right here, and he's about to leave. And it says, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now look at this. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. God said, I know him. I know Abraham. He was making the same declaration to Lucifer when he said, have you considered my servant Job? And Lucifer's response was, the only reason Job serves you is because you blessed him so much. He said, try him and see. But he said, I know him. What he was saying is, I believe in him. In Genesis 15, Abraham saying, I believe in God. In Genesis 18, God saying, I believe in Abraham. And the reason that he could believe in Abraham was because there was a foundation in Abraham's life that started with Abraham believing in God. It was not a thing of I believe in you because you're created in my image and you've got potential, kid. That's not it. It's a thing of I believe in you because I've seen your heart. I've seen your posture. I've seen your belief and your faith and your trust and your foundation in me. And because I've seen that, and because I know you, he said, this is what he's going to do. He will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And then he says, I love that the end of this, and this is huge for us, guys. This is not just a thing of, oh, I want to make the right choice. Big thing with my grandkids right now, and Aaliyah says this constantly to them. She says, choose right. Choose wisely. Make good choices. Choose kind words. That's her thing. Choose. She says it all the time. Choose kind words. You have the power to make these choices. Everybody in here, you have the power to make these choices. Your future is determined not by whether or not God wants to move in your life like this or move in your life like that. Your future is that He has already got a purpose and a plan and a desire and a design for you. But your future is determined by which foundation you're going to build your life on. Look at the second part of this. This is huge. He said, for I know him, that he will command his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Now look at this. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which has spoken to him. You know what that says to me? That Abraham had the power to bring God's blessing, God's plan, God's purpose, God's design for his life into present reality, or he had the power to negate it. It wasn't none of this, I hope God chooses me and I'm his favorite. Because we go through life that, and we look at the champions of faith, and we're like, well, he's just special and he's unique and all that. And I'm not saying that there aren't different giftings, and I'm not saying there aren't different callings. I'm not gifted to be a powerful praise and worship leader. Duh. There are things I am not gifted in. We will have unique callings. The best that I can hope for is that I maximize everything that God has brought and designed for my life to the point of that if he's faithful in these 10 talents, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give him 10 more. A lot of you guys hit lids because of you. You don't hit lids because of God. You hit lids because of you. And we come in and we wonder and we get frustrated with why my life isn't larger than it is. It's because we've not come into a place of Genesis 18:19, for I know him that he will. I know him that he will. I believe in Gordon, therefore I can entrust him with. It would be almost like, guys, you coming in and saying, I've got a great deal of money, but I know nothing about investment. But I know this person over here, and they have done tremendously well investments, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to them, and I'm going to say, just invest this for me. You would not do that if you did not have a tremendous amount of confidence in that person. If you did not believe in them. But if you believed in them, I used to just tell my daddy, well, what are you investing in? Just whatever you invest in, just tell me and I'll invest in it. Because I believed him in that arena. And we come in and we've not entered into the place to where God believes in us, to where God comes in and says, I know him, and because I know him, then I can fulfill all of this stuff into his life. Let me ask you a question. You're sitting there saying, I don't know about that, Brother Sid, and all that. What you want to do is you want to remove the onus of responsibility off of you. And you want to put it all on God. And then when your life isn't as large as you think it should be, then God's not as big as you think he should be. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't even want to say limitations. The lid that you put on your life is not a reflection of the smallness of God. Let me throw somebody out there for you to consider right quick. King Saul. Y'all remember King Saul? What does the word say about King Saul? He got a new heart. I believe this was figuratively, and I believe you could say on many levels as well, it said he was head and shoulders above. And everybody said, well, man, he was just tall for a Jew. He was a big old tall Jew. I think you could say that. He was very brave early in his career. When one city was under siege, he raised up an army. And did it with such a violence that he told the people, he cut up an oxen and sent the chunks around, and he says, if you don't answer the call to go deliver these people, this is what all y'all going to look like. Because this is destruction that will come into all our lives. Not necessarily that I'm going to be the one to do it. But he was bold, he was fearless. The Word said that he got a new heart. In our New Testament mindset, he received salvation. God came in, and you know what God spoke to him? God said, I'm going to establish your throne forever, and there will not fail your seed to sit on the throne. That was God's heart for him. That was the sky's the limit for him. That generationally, you're going to be the people. Generationally, you're going to be the leaders. But what happened? He blew it. He stopped hearing the words in the secret place. He stopped letting God activate things in his life. He started leaning on his ability. He started leaning on the way the other kings did. He started numbering his army. He started worrying about the opinion of people. And it all fell apart at the point that God said, you know what, I'll give your kingdom to somebody else because I found a man that's got a heart after mine. And so we know the story of David, and David stepped up. Who was small in this? God? That he was not able to fulfill it and complete it in Saul, or Saul? It's Saul. It's Saul. And I don't want us to be a people, and I don't want to be an individual that I come in and I shrink God down to my size because my life's not as large as it should be. I believe that 2018 is going to be a year of your life being enlarged. And that'll start with vision. That'll start with vision. That'll start with dreams. That'll start with ideas. That'll start with stuff. And when God sees that, you say, you're talking about works-based. No, I'm not talking about works-based. I'm talking about trusting my life to God, believing in Him and His goodness and His nature and His character, and saying, God, I am going to stand upright before You. And I don't know about all these other jokers, but it's for me and my house. That's my thing this year. That was my thing last year. So I don't know about all these other jokers, and I don't mean that negative toward any of y'all. I'm just saying, I don't know about all these other... It sounds negative, doesn't it? I ain't calling you a joker, Gordon. But at the end of the day, you stand before God as an individual man. And you say, God, I'm going to build my life on You and the foundation of who You are and what You've done in me. And I'm going to guard this. I'm going to ponder this. And I'm going to let it dictate my course of action. And that's my course of action this year. It's going to be dictated on those things. And so I want this heart and this spirit to be in you, that I am an individual and it starts with me, and what kind of man am I going to be this year, and what kind of woman am I going to be this year? Nick White, are you going to be a Genesis 18:9 guy where God says, I know Him and I can entrust Him? And because of this, then I can see what that does. Is basically it releases God to do what He desires to do. You say, man, is God so big that I can tie His hand in my life? I can. I know people that come in and tie God's hands in their life. And God said, man, I want to do this, but I can't. I want to do this. I want God to have free reign in your life this year. I don't know about anybody else at Harrison County, but I know Him. I don't know about anybody else at Victory Fellowship, but I know Him. And that has to be our approach. The power and the effectiveness of this local assembly is going to be determined on a bunch of individuals that say, as for me and my house, I'm chasing God. We all want to get caught up in the backwash of this thing. And if there's 30 other families that are wide open for God, then it's easy for me and my family to jump in and just kind of get sucked in on the... If I'm going fast enough down the interstate, you know what I do? I'll drag every piece of trash with me for a short distance. Because if I'm doing 90, not that I do 90, but if I'm doing 90 down the interstate, you know what's happening? All that stuff gets caught up in the draft. And that's what we want to do in our spiritual lives is, boy, I want everybody to be on fire and all of that. I want to be on fire. I want to stand upright before God. I want to be, God, where do You want me to serve? Instead of waiting for everybody else to step up. What do You want me to do to make a difference in my family, in my home, in this house, in this community, in this world? What do You want me to create to impact those that come in? I was eating in Carrollton the other night with Zealand and Sydney Hannah. I ran into a Blake Gauss guy that used to be in the program. He's not in the program anymore, and I didn't even recognize him. He came running up to me. What was it 302 South Street? It was trippy, and I don't know how I always get sucked into going up there on the wrong night. And I walked in, and I was like, oh, God, shoot me in the head. And I ate anyway. But he comes up, and he's like, Pastor Sid. Pastor Sid. We left a mark on him. And I want to be that man. And I want you to be that man. I don't want people to say, I wonder if he's still serving God. I had a guy a few months ago ask me, he said, Brett, how's still preaching, man? It wasn't a positive or a negative comment by him. He was just curious. He hadn't seen you in years. He said, Brett, how's still preaching? I said, yes, sir. I said, yes, sir, he is. I don't want it ever to be a question. I just want the assumption. I want that to be our life. That to be our service in the kingdom. I'm going to read this to you and then I'm done. My declaration for 2018 is that I would believe in God, Genesis 15:6. Not just believe in what He said, but believe in Him. His nature, His character, His goodness, His heart toward me. This is the foundation of a life of faith, hope, trust, and obedience. I am His beloved and His heart is towards me. That's my declaration. I have control over that, T.W. I have control over that. That's my declaration for this year. My hope for 2018 is that my life would be such that God would believe in me, Genesis 18:19. That I would walk before Him and be upright in all of my ways. This will release His purpose, plans, pursuits into my life, bringing me into the place of His expected end. If I get my declaration right, then my hope will come to pass. If you get your declaration right, your hope will come to pass. You won't have to worry about God. God will use you. You won't have to worry about hearing His voice. You will hear His voice. You don't want to have to worry about a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Those will take place. Just have to ask ourselves the question, who am I going to be? Who am I going to be? Am I going to shrink back or am I going to step forward? Let's stand to our feet. James, why don't you just come up and grab the acoustic guitar for a second, brother? I'm not asking you to have a gut check this morning. I'm asking you to have a heart check this morning. Secret things. You can go ahead and start playing whenever, brother. Secret things. Revealed to us, spoken to us, activated in us. What is your expectation for this year? Mine's large, Nick. But you know what? I don't want it to be contained in something as large as I can think because I don't want to put God in that box. I've got vision. I've got dreams. I've got ideas. I've got desires. I've got these things that are God-originated. And I'm like, man, I just see this launching and this launching and this launching. And God says, don't think that small. Think even bigger than that. And I don't want anybody in here to approach this year with a small God. That you've shrunk Him down based on your expectations, based on your performance. Say, God, I want You to activate things in me. Would You stir things in me? What are You believing for this year? 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 What can God do in me, and what can God do through me? Who can be impacted? What life can be changed? Who can I undergird? You notice what God said about Abraham? It didn't just say that Abraham was going to be faithful to Me in his life. You know what He said? He said He's going to command his household and everybody that was around in his little culture. And it starts with a culture within. But He said that He is going to be such a release, such an influence on everybody around Him that I know I can accomplish what My heart was toward Him. That's it. That's what He said. It wasn't just said, Nick's going to have an awesome year this year. Me and Him are going to hang out in the cool of the day. We're going to walk in the garden and all that. It said, Nick's going to lead an amazing wife. Nick's going to raise up powerful kids that know nothing but Me. They know nothing but My goodness. They know nothing but My statutes. He's going to be that man. He's going to be a man that walks through the halls of the school and on the wrestling mats and on the sidelines, and he exudes being upright before God. And because of that, we're going to think bigger. That's what God says. It's not going to be a Saul. It's going to be a David. That's what God says. Yes. Come on, somebody. Y'all just begin to engage God. Man, don't get hung up on our traditional altar calls. You just begin to engage God. Oh, Father God. Do all that is in your heart concerning my brother. Do all that is in your heart. Years of deposits, there be an awakening, there be an activation of these things. Now's the time, now's the season. Dormant no more. Spring forth to life. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear as You speak, Father. The masses won't hear it, but there's some that will. Everybody in here today probably didn't hear it, but there's some that heard it. They heard what You said. And they'll hear Your voice next week. They'll hear Your voice next month. They'll hear it in the place of celebration, but they'll also hear it in the hard place. Yes. Father God. Yeah. Do you need to move? Go ahead and move. Just get in a place where you're postured proper before Him.